Welcome to the Kang Collects Podcast. I'm your host, Kang, and today's going to be a solo podcast. I'm not going to be interviewing anyone in this episode. This is the first episode I've done solo since episode one, when I kind of just introduced you guys to the podcast and why I'm doing the podcast, what got me back into the hobby, you know, who I like to collect, which if you've heard the podcast by now, you know that's Michael Jordan and anything Michael Jordan, but I collect mostly basketball and football cards. I will dabble into baseball, and I think I might jump into a little bit of hockey coming up. If you don't know already, I'm on all the social media platforms, Twitter or X as they might call it, at Kang Collects, K-H-A-N-G, just like the podcast. Instagram, Kang Collects as well, where I post a lot of, you know, Michael Jordan cards that I have, just my PC. And also YouTube. I've been doing a YouTube channel lately, just kind of posting some of my collection, things I pick up from local card shows, from local card shops. I open up retail and wax and things like that just to share with you guys. And, you know, it doesn't really matter to me how many subscribers, even though I would love it if you subscribe and like to the YouTube channel. It's Kang Collects as well, like I said. But it's just a fun way that's gotten me back into opening up products and things like that and just kind of sharing, you know, my love and passion for the hobby itself. When I got into it, I didn't even refer to it as the hobby as it's been referred to as for a few years now by everybody. So, but that seems to be the common thing. So I'll just refer to it what everyone else refers to it, but the hobby can mean anything to anybody. You know, like I said, I've said on this podcast before, is if you can collect it, I'll talk about it. And I do a lot of sports and trading cards, but, I enjoy sneakers. I enjoy comic books, Funko Pops, jerseys, memorabilia, autographed items. So I'm going to be doing episodes on things that I know nothing about, you know, comic books. I'm not that into it. Like as far as educated, I'm going to have guests on that. There's going to be a trading card game stuff like Pokemon and Magic and One Piece and Lorcana and all that stuff that I'm going to have experts or people that are just more knowledgeable about it on the podcast. So, yeah, we'll dabble into anything. And I think I've already gotten requests about things that I didn't even know that you could actually collect, but I guess you can collect anything. And that's kind of what I'm going to kind of get into this episode about. This episode's about kind of just buying and purchasing things that you like and you want to collect personally, not to flip, not to invest, even though we all know this kind of stuff can be an investment. It can help make you money if you want to. But the root of why I started collecting wasn't because of that. It was just because I really enjoyed it, you know, and I love looking at cards and just looking at the photography, reading the stats. And if you collect any of the other stuff, you probably just like the way shoes look or just a cool sports memorabilia item of your favorite player, whatever it may mean. But on my YouTube channel at Kang Collects, I recently went to a card show, and obviously I was going to a card show, so I was looking for cards. But you know, you'll find a bunch of different things at card shows. You'll find, and especially if you collect Michael Jordan like me, then you know in the 90s and 2000s, they really mass produce a ton of Michael Jordan stuff, whether it's just cups or even more different type of trading cards, you know, calendars, you know, cologne he had, whatever it is. I mean, there was so much stuff. Posters was huge. I had a ton of Michael Jordan posters growing up, and I did like whatever a kid did. I took it out, you know, unrolled it, took it out of the saran wrap or the seal or cellophane. And I, you know, took tape or took pins and stuck them to my wall, put them up on my doors. And I just like look because you like looking at them, right? You didn't care about the value, keeping them in mint condition. I didn't have them framed. You know, I wasn't thinking about that as a kid. I just wanted to put them up right onto my wall. And I had the Starline ones and, you know, all that stuff and the Nike ones. Well, this card show I had gone to, I went up to this table, and if you don't know, if you didn't see the YouTube episode, you can go back and look at it if you want, and I'll show you what it looks like. But I went up to this table, and about a quarter, if not half of this table, was taken up by this big poster, and it was framed into this wooden box, and it was, he had handcrafted this thing. It was a custom made. Or I think that you know, the store that he got it from, the guy had custom made this. The store did this with a lot of posters. This was a 19, 88. Well, the poster was from the 1988 dunk contest. It was an original Nike poster. I think it might even came out in 92 or 88. I'm not sure exactly on that, but the picture is from 1988 dunk contest. And it's Michael Jordan jumping from the free throw line and his iconic, kind of just, I mean, it's poetry in motion. He's got the ball cocked back with his right hand, his left arm is behind him, his legs are kind of, bent and spread apart, the classic Jordan pose. And the bottom of it lists his, who's the 1988 NBA MVP. He was the Defensive Player of the Year, the Slam Dunk Champion, the All-Star MVP. He was a leading scorer. He did everything that you're basically but win the title. One of the great years in the history of the NBA. And this poster was in this, like I said, boxed frame, wood box. And he had put like tiny holes in it, put lights in strategic spots around the free throw line, like it was a runway. And in the crowd, there was like these lights that lit up, and you could plug this in and turn it on like a lamp, and it would just kind of light up throughout like a Christmas tree, but it was flashing bulbs. And I thought this was so cool. This is really cool. And we went back and forth for a little bit, but I knew I wanted this. And as long as it was at a reasonable price, I was going to buy it. We came to an agreement. He actually only brought it up to the show because he thought he had it sold to someone for a price. And that guy ended up not being able to make it, and he couldn't buy it. So this vendor, he put it on the table, hoping someone would buy it. And that was me. So we ended up coming to an agreement, and I bought it. And I took it right to the car, and then went back and enjoyed the rest of the card show, and picked up a few small cards. But this was the big find. This was the big buy. So I label this video my biggest, in quotation marks, Jordan buy at a card show, because physically it was the biggest one. Maybe not the most expensive thing I've ever bought from of Michael Jordan at a card show, but this was definitely the biggest, physically biggest one. So size wise, at least. So then I put on YouTube, like I said, and I asked people to leave comments and ask them. I didn't tell anybody how much, or I didn't say in the video how much I purchased it for. I just asked people what they thought would be a fair price, what they thought it was worth, what they would pay for it. And I have not still revealed what I paid for it. And unfortunately, spoiler alert, I'm not going to tell what I paid for it. Not because I'm embarrassed or anything, because it wasn't like crazy expensive. But the point is, if you collect what you love, then you can't go wrong. In today's hobby, everyone's looking to flip and make money and invest and all that stuff, which is totally fine. Do collect how you want to collect, but you can lose money that way. You can end up on the negative. You can get frustrated, get upset. And if you know that's part of the game, then I think hopefully you're okay with it. And hopefully you're being financially responsible, that you're just spending what you can afford. But my point is, if you collect what you love or you collect what you like, you can't go wrong, really, because you get to keep the item. This is something that you wanted. Now, down the line, can I sell or trade a lot of my Michael Jordan stuff? Absolutely. Michael Jordan's a pretty safe, quote unquote, investment. Considered to many people the greatest of all time, favorite player for a lot of people, a bit, a lot, he spanned generations because he's a pop culture icon, the shoes, the style, and to this day, people know who Michael Jordan is, even if they've never seen him play. But for me, this piece, it was just so cool. It was unique. I knew that I didn't even know where I was going to put it, but I knew I was going to find a spot for it. And so I paid what, and this is really cliche, but things are worth what someone's willing to pay for it. So to me, this was worth what I was willing to pay for it. And like I said, we came to an agreement. He was happy with it. I was happy with it. And I got to go home with it. So even if some may say I overpaid, if I told him the number, because that's wasn't worth it to them, but it was worth it to me. So I think when you go to card shows and you go to anything, whether it's a flea market or even the regular stores, if you really enjoy it, if you really like it, then you're not gonna lose, And like I said, everything's within reason, of course, but and as long as you can afford it, you're not gonna lose. Whether it's a pair of shoes, a jersey, comic book, whatever it is for you, if you really enjoy it, you'll be okay. And so that's I sleep well at night, paying what I paid because I really enjoy this. I get to wake up, look at it, Right now it's in like one of my bedrooms where I keep all my cards, but I think I'm gonna end up putting it in the basement. It's in the man cave, and I think it's a great piece. So when you go to card shows and you negotiate with the dealers and the vendors, and sometimes it's not worth haggling over $5, $10 if you really want it. That's at least this is what I do. I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but I'll tell you what I do personally. If I really want something, the $5, $10, isn't a big deal. Especially if you don't think you'll see it again, or it's not a common piece or card or whatever. Now, if it's something that you're going to run into quite a bit, or it's not hard to find, yeah, you can pass on that and get the price that you want. Nowadays, everyone's using comps. And if you don't know what comps are, generally speaking, at a card show at least, and I think this is with a lot of items too, you use eBay. And you go on eBay and you type in the product or the card. And then you go to the filter side and you check off completed items and sold items. And that will tell you the most recent, if you scroll through it, prices that that item or card has sold for. And so you can kind of get a gauge what people are buying it. And that isn't the end all be all, it's just an estimate. So then you can also, because some people like to use, well, that's what it's sold for, but then now what's available and what are those people asking for? There's a happy medium, you can go by just straight what it's sold for, and some people can use that. Hey, well, that's what it's sold for, but this is only one available now, and this is the price. So, like they say, sometimes yesterday's price is not today's price, but then again, it can go down as well, or it can go up. That's why, I never get offended when I see someone really overpriced at a table. I just think, okay, well, they're probably end up not gonna move that card ever. It's just gonna sit in that case, and maybe they're okay with that. Maybe they don't mind taking it home, I think it's your card, price for whatever you want. You just might have it priced to a point where no one's ever gonna buy it. And if you're okay with that, you're okay with that. I don't get offended when people, if I set up a show, and if people want to quote unquote lowball me or think I'm too high or whatever, I never get offended. If that's what they want to offer, I can always counter offer. I can always say no. I'm not forced to sell anybody anything, and they're not forced to buy anything. So sometimes people get offended, and to me, it's not a big deal. Now, if you're priced too high at a table, someone might not even counter you because they don't want to offend you and they don't want to, lowball you. But in your eyes, even though they might think, hey, this is outrageously priced, but you won't get a conversation going. You won't get a negotiation going. So that's where I think if you really price something too high, you're never going to sell it, and you're not even going to get anyone to talk to you about it. So I think within reason. But like I said, I think whatever anyone's comfortable paying for something, then both parties win. If the guy wants to move it and you're okay with if you really want to take it home. So I mean, that's kind of like what I that's my mindset going into any show. Curious if you guys have the same, mindset going into places. Now, obviously, the great thing about card shows and just shows in general, like if you go to Comic Con or toy shows or anything like that, flea market, any trade centers, swap meets, I love the fact that you can negotiate and everything is kind of like, I've got room on this or don't, or I do a lot of times if you see my videos on YouTube. I will bundle a lot of cards together because it helps, I think, both people. Helps them get rid of a bunch of more stuff than they came with. They want to leave with less stuff, and it helps you get a better price. They may have more room on other things than the specific thing that you're looking to buy. So if you put it all together, you feel like you got a good deal. He feels like he moved a bunch of stuff and he gets more money at the end, than just selling the one item or one card. Then that works out for everybody. So I'm a big, big fan of putting bulk things together or bundling a bunch of things together to try to come to an agreement. And that usually works out pretty well too. I do that all the time. So, but yeah, if you go to like a Walmart, Target, Meijer, you can't negotiate, of course, and we all know that. So, but also if you think their prices are too high at those places, you just walk away, you don't buy it. Same thing when you go to a show or anything else. If you think the price is too high, then don't buy it. I don't think there's any point in getting angry at somebody or upset. Like I said, if it's too high, they're not going to move it. Or maybe they'll find somebody that will pay what they're willing to sell it for, and that's on them. So, it is what it is. Like I said, the whole point of this podcast was just, if you collect what you love, if you collect what you like, you can't go wrong on price. So unfortunately, I'm not going to reveal what I paid for the Nike poster that I just bought, but I'm very comfortable with it. I'm very happy with it. So in the end, that's all that matters. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe and follow if you don't already. Tell a friend, a family member about it if they enjoy collectibles. Like I said, I'll talk all things collectibles. If you can collect it, I'll talk about it. I'm on Audacy app. I'm on, that's Audacy. I'm on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Oh, Facebook too. I will post the YouTube videos I make. I'll post the latest episodes of the podcast on my Facebook, which is also Kang, Khang, Collects, Collects. So yeah, I'm on all those socials, and if you comment or like, I'll try to respond if I can. If you don't know, my day job keeps me pretty busy. I got Monday through Friday talking to Doug and Gator and Carson Anderson on 97 The Ticket, talking everything that's going on locally. Lions have been great for us, so we've been really busy with that. Now we're gonna get the off season, and also if you don't know, I got the family and the two young girls, so that keeps me insanely busy. So it's really hard to find time. But I just enjoyed collecting and doing this so much that I find the time. And like I said, it's gotten me back to opening a product and things like that, which I really didn't do much of. I'm pretty big on just buying the card that you want or buying the item you want. There's definitely a fun factor and a gamble factor to buying product and opening it. The ceiling is much higher, but the floor is where you usually end up. Nothing wrong with that. Like I said, as long as it's within reason. Another thing too is, will I go to Walmart, Meijer, Target, buy stuff? Yes, you'll see on my YouTube channel. I'll do that. Even Walgreens, I've bought a couple of those mystery boxes there. But you can, if you are able to make a card show, or even maybe your local card shop, you might be able to get better prices there. So especially with retail now, it seems like it's definitely gone down a bit. Maybe some specific products have gone up, but most of the product has gone down. So hit up your local card show. All you gotta do is go on Facebook or Google it. There's almost one every weekend, at least in Southeast Michigan. I know there's on the West Side. There's in Lansing as well, once a month, and there you can get good prices there as well. And like I said, you can still even negotiate on those with a lot of dealers and vendors. So that's another way to kind of keep it affordable and have fun. There, like I said, there's a fun factor for sure with opening products. And I used to do it all the time as a kid. As I got older, it kind of just felt like the smarter way to go was to buy the things that you wanted directly, go on eBay or buy it from, Facebook, group or whatever, and just buy the card you want. But and although that's really fun, there's a different fun factor, as you say, or gambling factor, or risk factor with opening up sealed product and sealed wax. Never know what you're gonna get. So, like I said, this has brought me back to doing a little bit more of that, which I don't do a ton of anyways, but it's always been fun. Anyways, guys, I appreciate it. Hopefully, you know where I'm coming from, understand how I purchase and buy things, and you let me know how you do it as well. You can always email me at kangcollects@gmail.com. That's Khang collects at gmail.com. I might do a mailbag coming up at some point. Just and or if you have any cards or collections you want me to look at, I know a ton of people. I can pass it along to someone who might be interested. I can pass along any information I might know about your stuff to help you. So definitely shoot me an email or message me on all the socials. I appreciate you guys listening. Until then, I'm gonna have a really cool guest for the next episode. You're definitely gonna want to stick around for that one, and many more guests to come. I'm going to keep this thing going for as long as you guys will listen. So appreciate it. And as always, keep collecting.